join with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, that you will give us ears to hear and hearts that will take and understand and live through that which we learn and hear and seek to do. Father, bless this word even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture lesson is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I'll begin reading then at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. May God bless to us this portion from his word. Amen. The selection I've made is the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. It stands out as a very powerful passage. And I could have spent hours and hours going just to each one of the verses that compose this first chapter. It's a chapter that was exciting to me as a young Christian as I was learning the doctrines of grace, as is known, or the Reformed faith. And learning about how God from all eternity predestined us to his own self and to be his child. The decision of Mike Stingley at a certain date and a certain time was the outgrowth and the outworking of the Spirit of God, which began before eternity. Before you or I in any way had any knowledge of ourselves or of anything else. He had chosen us and ordained us that we should be his children. And so I'm asking you to direct your attention to this first chapter, and in just four words, accepted in the beloved. What glorious and glorious words those are, just four words, accepted in the beloved. You know, as you think back, as we have the opportunity about that word, acceptance. You know, it's a very frightful word, and sometimes when we're waiting for the answer to something that we want very much, we want to hear, it's been accepted. You've been accepted. And that's a wonderful experience. You know, in some of the most important times of our life, when I proposed to my dear wife, to be accepted and to accept that proposal was one of the most thrilling things in life. And there are many like that each of us has. But I think probably the most outstanding example of that concept and that word is that God accepts us in the beloved. There's nothing I have to do, nothing I can do to claim that right. It belongs to me because of the promise and power and foreknowledge and ordination of God from before the foundation of the world. The ground of our acceptance, of being accepted in the beloved, is simply this, his choice, verse 4. It is because he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us to be his own. And so the foundation of the church and as of its salvation from start to finish is our election in himself from before the foundation of the world. We look around and we see wonderful people and delightful people, and some also not so delightful. But that's not what the good news about the gospel is. The good news is Jesus Christ, whom God has sent from before the foundation of the world to give his life ransom. In other words, God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's the good news that he proposed to do before the foundation of the world was even laid. Eternal election does not, however, abrogate our obligation to fight against sin. Nor does it abrogate God's other qualities, such as righteousness and justice. The fact that we are chosen doesn't mean that God overlooks the fact that we are sinners, that he overlooks the fact that there is unrighteousness, that we can say, oh yes, I can live like hell. And I mean that literally, because we're elect. No, the election of God, the choice of God for us, the calling of God for us, involves those same divine attributes, such as his justice, so that we come to know him and hear the great, glorious word that praise be to God Almighty. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. And in that holiness, he sends forth his son to be born of a virgin and to suffer and die in our place, that we might have that assurance of grace, that powerful grace of God operative in our lives. Sin must be punished. And we who are chosen in Christ have had all of the requirements of the law fulfilled on our behalf in Christ. As we think about him in his active and passive obedience, every aspect of our need is accomplished because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world and determined that very blessing, that very abundant blessing would be ours. We, through Jesus Christ, are accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. And those who were elected were also chosen that no one should have any lacking, but that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. His acceptance of us and of his power is all given to us so that we can stand before him without blame. John says, and I think this is a marvelous passage, John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Even that inner Trinitarian desire and counsel is all way back. And it is beautifully seen in this. But the other thing I think that is so remarkable is that God has called us and has predestined us to newness of life. But as Jesus says, I want them to be where I am and where I am, that they may behold my glory. That is a phenomenal and powerful statement. That you and I, through faith in Jesus Christ, as a result of his eternal purposes and glory, you and I are being ushered into the very presence of God where we will see him as he is. That's the glory. The glory that belongs to the Son of God that is determined, to us who belong and believe in him. We might know him not only, but see him as a friend face to face. That's wow. So we are called then and elected that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. We are elected by the Father before the foundation of the world. And this election And our standing before God as holy and without blame is not the result of our godliness. Nor did he look down the long hall of the future and say, "Ah, I see, he's going to have faith, or they're going to have faith." There's none of that. It's all about God who determined it, that we might know him, that we might have the comfort of the assurance of being holy and without blame before him in love. Not the result of our good godliness, not because of what God has seen. There's no merit at all. It's all of God has chosen us and ordained us to be holy and without blame. To be sure, this does not relieve us of the responsibility of seeking to live godly lives. Quite the contrary, it's because of such great grace and such great promises and such great goodness that is given to us that we are constrained. I like that word. We are constrained to serve Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all our strength, and with all our might. But furthermore, we are also predestined unto the adoption of sons. Think of that, what that means. You and I are adopted into the very family of God. We're not only forgiven of our sins, but we are brought into a new relationship with God, and we are given a new name and a new joy and a new importance, if you would. We belong to God. We belong to the family of God. Who are you? I am a member of the family of the household of God. Think of it. That God in all eternity, before anything, he decided you. He decided you are the one he wants in his family, specifically, selectively, and importantly, you. Not the church. You. Not the great mass of humanity, but you. This is the most personal thing I can think of, that God wants you and me to be with him where he is, to see him where he is, but to be with him as one of his. God, this is overwhelming. And again, we come back and again and back and again, predestined to the adoption of sons. We're accepted in the beloved not only through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, but we stand before God, who is our Father. Who we call him that special name we have the right to. We call him Daddy. Because we're his, and he is us. It reminds me of that verse in the Song of Solomon's. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Because he's adopted us into the family of God. Because he has predestined us to be his children. And so we, as we read the scripture, in love he has ordained us according to the good pleasure of his will. We're going to sing in a moment Rock of Ages. And the wording was written by Augustus Toplady. He wrote this also. To thee, O Lord, alone is due all glory and renown. Aught to ourselves we dare not take, or rob thee of thy crown. Thou wast thyself our surety, in thee his grace was given us, long ere the world began. That's the joy of being accepted in the beloved. The grace of God toward us centers around and is bestowed upon each of us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the Beloved. It is Jesus Christ, the Beloved of the Father. As he said, "This is my beloved Son." How often we hear those words where God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. This is my beloved." And that great blessing comes to us in the life of Jesus Christ as we read, "The Father has loved me," Jesus says, "because I lay down my life." It is the Beloved One, the Son, in whom we are redeemed. This is the good news. This is the glory of his love, that every spiritual blessing, every spiritual need, every spiritual dot and tittle, if you would, is taken care of, is accomplished, because we are in him. We are his own. We are his beloved. Thus resulting from eternal choice and marvelous grace, we are his people and accepted in his beloved. Charles Spurgeon has written many things, but this is a particular powerful verse or section that he wrote in the morning and evening meditation, where he talks about being accepted in the beloved. Listen to him. "Rejoice then, beloved, in this, that thou art accepted in the beloved. Thou lookest within and you say, there is nothing acceptable here. But look at Christ and see if there is not everything acceptable there. Thy sins trouble thee, but God has cast thy sins behind his back, and thou art accepted in the righteous one. Thou hast to fight with corruption and wrestle with temptation, but thou art already accepted in him who has overcome the power of the devil. The devil tempts thee. Be of good cheer. He cannot destroy thee, for thou art accepted in him who has broken Satan's head. Know by full assurance thy glorious standing. Even glorified souls are not more accepted than thou art. They are only accepted in heaven in the beloved, and thou art even more now accepted in Christ after the same manner." Think of it. Through God and his marvelous grace, we have been chosen from all eternity to be in the beloved for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace, for your blessing, for bringing us into that relationship that we call, that we mean when we say we are accepted in the beloved. Thank you for loving us. Enable us, Heavenly Father, to love you with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, for Jesus' sake, the beloved.